Welcome to the Golf Quest. I'm your co-host, Scott Hartman.
And I'm Chris Hartman. From Pinehurst to Shinnecock Hills, we played a lot of golf together, including completing the top 100 golf courses in the world.
We've met some great people during our journey, and we're excited to share those stories with you. And now,
the Golf Quest. All right, welcome everyone to this episode of the Golf Quest. We've got our guest today, Jared Gardner and Craig Panner. Golf clap. So thank you all for joining today. It's been a wild ride with both of you guys. We've had some fun golf rounds and over the years, and I see that there's a few logos, you know, hanging out there. So, you know, Jared, what do you got on there?
Just a little bit of a LACC going on.
Okay. Probably talk about that here in a little bit. All right. What do you have going on, Craig?
Chris, I'm matching your hat with the Hirono Golf Club and
there we go.
One course in Japan.
Oh yeah. It's like Augusta. And that's another one we'll touch on here in a little bit. I think my dad's got a couple logos, I'm sure, on there.
Yeah, I've got Oakland Hills. I got a belt from Iopia Hunt Club, and I'll leave it at that right now, what I'm wearing.
I hope he's wearing pants over there too. As you said, I got Hirono, I've got Fisher's Island, but I like to also bring a little fun in. I got my cup with LACC, so, you know, just like to keep the theme going here. Oh, there we go. Got Shinnecock. So, it's always fun. And, you know, Jared has always made fun of me for all of the logo talk that I have. He always says I'm a little bit of a logo snob, but you know what? I'm okay with that.
No, man, you're not. You just wear it on. Your belt, your shorts, your shirt, your hat.
Listen, I can't tell you everything that I'm wearing, but, you know, there's a few more logos than what I've talked about so far. So, let's get into it a little bit here. You know, as I said, we've talked about, playing some top 100 golf courses together along with a lot of other golf. And it's been, you know, in the U.S., in foreign countries, pro-ams, you know, all sorts of different tournaments. So Craig, why don't we kick it off with you? We played together in Asia a few times now, and I don't know how we survived a couple typhoons in a week, but, you know, I guess I want to ask you, what's your favorite memory of all of the different, you know, things we've done in the golf world so far?
I mean, I think it had to be, when I first met you and played golf with you for the first time, I think you were 15 years old. So it was very memorable. I remember at the time, I think, Scott, you were Max Chair or something. And
you were not 15 years old.
Yeah, you were 15 years old?
No, he wasn't.
Oh, he was not definitely not 15 years old. But
about 2005.
Yeah, it was 2005, and it was a great experience. First of all, meeting you, you weren't nearly the golfer you are now, Chris. At that time, you were struggling around the course we went, but we literally took a ferry to Ria Bintan, which is an island about 45 minutes by ferry from Singapore, and it's a beautiful Gary Player course right on the ocean. Really nice, lush green environment, and we're just hacking around. All three of us, I think, were hacking around the course, got through it. We come back, and it was the first natural disaster we averted, I think. But we found out that there was an earthquake and a tsunami in Indonesia, so everybody's freaking out that we're playing golf, but it's not really the main part of Indonesia. It's just these two islands that happen to be close to Singapore, shielded from tsunamis in general. That was a good memory, you know, the first time. And then I think we can bookend it with some other stories in Japan, but, that was literally the first time I met you, played golf at a beautiful course in Singapore is my favorite memory.
I remember it. I called it the trains, planes, and automobiles trip. Remember we got off the ferry and then we got on the yellow school bus. And we drove up into the mountains, into the jungle, and I'm just going, well, if that's the last time I saw my wife, that may be. I don't know where we're going. And we got there and got up over the hill. What a beautiful country club. But you remember the monkeys as well?
Yeah, monkeys. You have to keep your wallets and phones and everything really close to you because the monkeys literally just take them and run off into the jungle. I think they're trained to do that because some Indonesian guys probably collecting wallets and money and Pro V1 sleeves and stuff like that.
You could hear them coming too. You could hear them coming through the woods and their calls and everything. It was, you know, it was quite the jungle golf experience there.
Yeah, well, it's always interesting too, you know, golfing in Asia because you have the lady caddies and, you know, it's just a different experience. And if you remember, they had to protect our carts. So that they had one lady protecting the cart, you know, one trying to help us read the greens, which based on our golf games didn't really matter a whole lot. But we tried. And then if you actually remember, there was a thunderstorm that rolled through while we were there in the middle of the round and we had to stop. And we see this group of Japanese guys like just playing through the thunderstorm. I think that's where he told us, Craig, that they like to have, you know, lightning insurance just in case something like that comes down.
Yeah, it was definitely booming there. I remember that one.
Yeah. Well, that was definitely a special one. And you kind of touched on already, Craig, how we had a great time last year in Japan on our, you know, what one of our guests, said, you know, Nick Marino, probably the best 60 days of golf or 45 days of golf that anyone's ever had when we were, you know, it started over there in Japan with you and playing Naruo and Hirono. But, you know, Naruo, that was a pretty special one. So you remember how it was when we started off there?
Yeah, I think we literally, well, first of all, we were supposed to have our host there, my friend Ebi-san, who was a gracious host for us. And I'll thank him. We need to reciprocate someday and bring him over and play in the States. But
absolutely,
he couldn't join us at Naruo, so we rock up to the pro shop, the check-in location, and a guy speaks pretty good English. A member of the course speaks really good English, asking what we're doing. We kind of explain you guys are finishing courses 93 through 97 for in Japan, and he was really super interested in the story. And then I think you had mentioned something about the Masters or whatnot, and he goes, yeah, I go pretty much every year. So right then we said, who is this guy, right? So he ends up telling us he's Mr. Mizuno from Mizuno Golf. So he's literally the owner and chairman of Mizuno Golf. and so it was quite good because he was playing with the president of the club, I think, on that day. We go to the tee box, and it's a pretty short course by recollection. I think it was like 6,000 yards or something like that.
Yeah, 6,500 from the tips.
Yeah, 6,500 from the tips. With the tees that we were planning on playing were about 6,000. So Chris was like, I'd like to play from the tips. They're like, usually they don't allow the non-members to play from the tips or non-pros or whatever, just for pace of play or whatnot. But then he comes by with the president, and they absolutely allow Chris to play. He's gotten up higher up on the blue tees. He plays from the tips.
Yeah, they sized us up and said, you can't go back there, didn't they?
So immediately, bombs one off the first hole, hits it off to the left of the green, and chips it in for birdie, which was a great start to an even par nine. So at the turn, you have to have lunch in Japan. That's the custom. You play nine holes, have a hour long lunch with all the other players as they come in. And then we go over and tell the president, it's like, good thing you had him playing for the tips because you shot even on the front. And he was like,
the caddy was sweating a little bit too. And when we finished nine and I was even par, he was like, oh, thank you for like actually living up to playing from back there. I was like, I was sweating a little bit too because you guys put the pressure on me. The president and Mr. Mizuno are behind us and they're watching us play. And I'm like, man, if I don't show up, you know, it might be a little bit of a struggle. But that was a great spot, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And they were doing something with the green. They had some damage on the green, and every single member came up and apologized on the condition of the course. You know, it was quite quite refreshing. You know, I mean, obviously to be a member of Naruo or Hirono, either one of those, you have to be like the who's who of, Japanese leaders. And we met some really great people along the way.
Well, and obviously being pro shop people, we said, hey, can we go hit up your pro shop? And, every culture is a little bit different, but it's funny how different we treat it in the U.S. than they do in Japan and a lot of other areas, because it's like, one wall of shirts and, the largest size they have is like large.
And a large in Japan is a medium.
Exactly.
Barely. Barely. So, right. Barely.
You know, we were wondering if diets were needed after, after that round, but, we survived, and it was a great time. And Japan at that time of year too is a little bit humid, so I think we were having to make sure we were hydrated the whole time too, weren't we?
Yeah, absolutely. Good.
I remember the temperatures were, the heat index was like 108, and we were walking in 108 heat index, so up and down some hills too, right, Craig?
Yeah, I mean, we were warned three things before we went by every Japanese person that we were going in the middle of August. So they were like, first of all, we want to warn you that week is called Obon, which is like Thanksgiving. It's where everybody travels back to their family. And a lot of things are closed, including the golf courses were closed on that Monday. So I remember we only had 4 days to work with. The second thing they warned us on was the heat, which we definitely felt, and the humidity. And the third thing they said, this is a typhoon season. So as we were planning it all out, we were like kind of hoping we probably didn't mind the heat, but we definitely would mind if courses weren't open or a typhoon disrupted the schedule. So
it's sort of like the Texas of Asia, Jared.
Houston, go down to Houston where it's just, you just walk outside and you're just sweating.
It is crazy. Instant sweat.
But the courses, the drainage over there was amazing. I mean, I don't know how many inches of rain they had before Naruo. And we got to play the very next day right after the typhoon went through there, and some limbs down, but it was barely wet on the course. So amazing how they drain them and the shape they keep them in.
It's right. It's funny because you mentioned that, how everybody is coming out and apologizing for the course and all of that. And all I can think about is here in the States when golf courses will go out and punch their greens, and then you get out there, they don't tell you, and they still charge you the same amount. I've never gotten an apology for any of the course conditions here. But, I have a quick question. I mean, for you guys, and I'm sure many listeners like myself that have never obviously gotten to go to Japan and play golf or even in Asia for that matter. And maybe not ever. And I know some of the stories that you guys have told before, like, can you guys kind of talk about some of the, what it's like playing over there? I mean, you mentioned you're having to stop at 9 and have lunch. Right. And then how does that work? Like, how do they keep the tee times and all that kind of thing? I mean, just what's it like playing over there compared to over here?
It's amazing.
Well, yeah. I would say that it's some of the best fairway turf that I've ever played on. I mean, it's almost like a mat. And the greens weren't the fastest, though, except at Hirono, if I remember correctly. They were a little bit slow everywhere else.
Yeah, and typically, like a typical round, well, first of all, a golf is a full day, literally, in Japan, because the courses aren't usually near the city. So your journey out to the course is at least an hour by car, right? So you get there and everybody's early because you're never like sweating your tee time. You get changed in a locker room, a real kind of thorough check-in process. Then you play and then you split the 9 and have an hour lunch in between and you finish up. And then you take, after you finish the round, you take a bath, shower, like they have hot springs, type of baths. So you really like clean up and then you get your locker, put all your clothes on, and it's already the sun setting, right? So it is a full day experience, which is, and I think Japanese wives are very patient, you know. So, but some guys do that every Saturday. So their Saturday morning, the first thing they wake up, get in their car, and they come back for dinner, right?
Yeah, Jared,
so
and if you like
definitely
seeing
not
a lot
the
of
4 hour
dudes
thing that we have.
Well, I was gonna say, if you like seeing a lot of dudes in towels in a hot tub, you know, that's it's the place for you.
Well, now I know why you went over there, Chris.
Yeah,
I'll tell you, there's nothing like coming out from the steam and the hot tubs, and then you go right back outside, and you cleaned up, and you're soaking wet about 2 seconds when you're outdoors. But super nice, and also they have all kinds of cool things like the electric carts. So that, you know, they've got these carts that have no drivers, and the caddies run them with a remote control unit. So you hop in, and there's a steering wheel, and it's just going, and there's nobody sitting there.
And it follows like a line on the cart path, so it stays on the cart path and just follows this line. And you know, they can hit button to start it, button to stop it. It's all sorts of AI stuff that we're a little bit behind here in America.
And wow. Definitely, I would say for someone with game like me, all over the place, left, right, off the tee, the caddy saved me at least 2 to 3 strokes a round because they never don't find the ball, right? So when we play here in America, like I lose my ball, I'm like, I swear it was on the left side of the fairway somewhere. They find it every time, 100% of the time. So definitely saves me a few strokes.
Well, it's just, I don't know. I mean, we talked about it. It's just such a special place. And we got to play with Ebi-san over at Hirono, which, you know, almost no one gets to play at, right? I mean, it's so hard to get on to, you know, play. It's kind of their Augusta over there. And it honestly, every fairway, tee box, green was basically perfect. And the bunkering was insane.
And every hole looked like it was designed by a different designer too. There was nothing boring at all about it. Every time you walk up to a tee box and look at the next hole, it was like, wow, now where are we going?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we had a great time there too. And, you know, playing with Craig and playing with Evie and getting to, you know, experience all that after having blowfish the night before, which survived, you know, so that was a pretty special one. And you know, that was one where, you know, we finally could find some American sized shirts afterwards and some, you know, some great hats to bring back to the US here. So, you know, after surviving that typhoon, it was pretty cool to have a couple opportunities to play some great golf.
Yeah. And we
typhoon.
What's that?
So what's it like going through a typhoon?
You know,
like hurricane.
It's like a hurricane. But you just don't go outside. And we actually did see a few people outside, and it looked like Mary Poppins. They had umbrellas. They were about to blow away out there. So we were, you know, sitting up in the club at the hotel watching some of this go down and trying to figure out what they were thinking going outside there.
You know, but watching it, because, you know, the Japanese culture versus the U.S. culture, when the government says stay indoors, people stay indoors. Here in the U.S., nobody listens to anybody. They just go out and take their own risks and do their crazy stuff. So to be in a couple million person city and not see anybody out on the streets, it was kind of eerie in that respect. But, you know, the next day, bam, open up and going. And you know, when we were over there, we also got to play. Craig didn't get to play with us. We played Tokyo Golf Club. That's an amazing spot. And then we also went down and played Kwana, which for people, if you don't have the connections to get on the private ones, Kwana is a public course. You can stay at the hotel and get on. And I would highly recommend that one if you're over there in Tokyo. It's what was it? Oh, that's right. We had traffic. It was supposed to be an hour and a half. I think it was 5 hours because of the holiday traffic. But we got down there, place right on the ocean, up and down the hills, and a very cool spot. And Craig, did you say you haven't played that one, or you have?
I have not played that one before, so I definitely want to make my way over there. But so, I just don't think
it. I just don't think one up on you.
Oh yeah, okay.
She got to play it, although that was one where I was actually concerned about some people surviving it, because it was like, I think that was the hottest. It was even hotter than Naruo. I mean, it was like 115 heat index, and we walked it, and it was as hilly as Country Club of York here, you know, and we're just like, oh gosh, what are we going to do? And the caddy's like throwing, you know, electrolyte drinks at us. And you know, she's worried about us passing out on the golf course out there. But that's a pretty cool one. You see Mount Fuji and stuff too.
Yeah. Did you bring some extra gold bond?
you needed all you could get.
Yeah. I think, Hirono definitely is a top five golf course in my lifetime, the ones that I played. It's so exclusive. It really is the Augusta of Japan, the long history. It's the most difficult course slope wise in Japan. So, serious golfers are members there. And so we're at lunch and I asked a question, do you have any foreign members here? And they were like, yeah, there's one guy, I think he was from Scandinavia or something. Yeah. And he must've been a CEO of a company base in Japan, and he got membership, but there's one guy. So Chris was like, I think I want to be a member here. And they were like, there's an age limit. There's an age restriction. You're too young. So
yeah, there's an age floor.
Yeah. You have to be 45 to even apply for a membership.
Right.
There.
Yeah. I mean, so Chris, I had a guy willing to vouch for me.
Yeah. So he said, basically come back when you're 45 and apply, and maybe you'll be the second foreign member of Hirono. But incredible course, just, and I love the book that you picked up there too, Chris. That's an amazing, like, picture book of Hirono.
Yeah, it's a great history book. And those are the special things about these trips that we do. We get to bring really cool stuff back, really great memories back. And, that's why we enjoy talking about it with guys like you we've had, other great golf rounds too, right? We played at Caves Valley together. And then we obviously do the Amex, each year. Jared, Caddy Jared over there, trying to right the ship usually each year. Although this year was a little bit better than other years, and Craig made it out again. So that was great. So what's your most memorable thing, I guess, either about the Amex or other, other courses we played, Jared?
Caddy Jared, is that what he calls you now? Caddy Jared?
It's better than the other names I have.
Don't you actually play golf, and don't you actually beat Chris when you play against him?
Chris, want to answer that?
If you'd actually give me the strokes I deserve,
Here we go.
Jared, where'd you play golf in college?
No, the Amex, man, that is just a fun event. Getting out there, Chris, you played awesome this year. Made my life much better. Stayed out at the sand traps. Didn't have to rake too many.
Getting older, Jared, so I didn't want to make you work too hard.
Look, that hot tub after the round is calling my name every single day. Every single day.
So maybe we should rewind, because people, if they're listening, they don't know what the Amex is. They just think it's a card to have in their wallet. But that tournament used to be the Bob Hope. And, Bob Hope and the presidents used to always go there. And it had a number of names through the years. But the latest sponsor is American Express. And they've done a great job, I think, making sure they get the right quality and the pros there, but it's like Pebble Beach. You get to play three rounds as an amateur with the pros, and you play at three different courses, right? So you play PGA West, you've got the stadium and the Nicklaus course, and then La Quinta Country Club. And you get two pros. Each of us would get a pro each day. And so you get to play with two pros a day, six pros during the tournament. You get to really hang around with them and see them, be up close, chat with them. You make friends out there. And Jared, you were there. This is your second time you've done this now.
Third, actually. Third.
So, oh, that's right. The first year you and Chris didn't show up. That's right.
Hey, listen, you got 1 year that you got to beat me, but I think we all know what happened the last couple.
What was that? 12 strokes I beat you the first year? That's why.
You know, I'm surprised you can walk around with all the sand in your bag over there. And this is the fun banner we get to have on the golf course, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, pros have to listen to it, don't they?
Yeah, shout out to Pat McCabe for putting on a great tournament and hooking us up with some great pros over the years. And you know, I got our current 2024, bib hanging back there, and we had a fun time with all the guys there, didn't we?
Oh yeah, it was a blast. You know, I think the pros enjoy playing with you guys as well, because you guys have your own like little internal match, you know, that you guys do during the tournament. And, you know, I think they get, you know, very into it, because I think most of the time they're just used to having, you know, a couple guys in their group that's coming out and just going through the motions, but it doesn't really mean anything, you know? And I think they're kind of out there going like, you know, this is my career and I'm out here and, you know, I got to play with these, you know, these amateurs, and, you know, they don't mind it. And some are better than others, but I think with you guys, it just seems that they're a little bit more into it and they get a little bit more conversational, and, you know, because they enjoy the internal battle. And like you said, Chris, the trash talk, you know, and whether it's me giving Scott or telling Chris to, you know, get his together, you know, because Scott just made birdie there. And, you know,
we didn't see that this year, did we?
Not too often.
I still remember the look on your face the last day when my pro Andrew Novak dropped the eagle on you guys to tie the match, and he was over in the other fairway when he did that on that par five. He almost dunked it on two there.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. Maybe he's better playing from the other fairway. There you go, Andrew.
Hey, I bring the best out of my pros. I rev them up, don't I, Craig? Craig's kind of my lucky charm too. When you show up, my pros get hot, don't they?
So with Novak's, I think it was on the eighth hole, I started talking. We were walking together, Kathy and his wife. He was going to miss the cut, right? He was. I don't even remember how many strokes away from the cut, but there's no way he was going to make the cut. So basically at the turn, I was like, he's going to start getting hot here. And then he went birdie, birdie, eagle. It was like a massive.
He went six under five holes.
And he was just telling his wife, he goes, I'm only doing this to get Scott back in the game.
He did. It was, you know, the pep talk worked, you know, the mojo was there, and it was great.
Yeah, how did it end up at the end?
Oh, shut up.
Yeah, but, you know, Chris, you did have a hole-in-one the day before with your pro.
I did. My pro had a hole-in-one, and Joe Highsmith, that was an epic hole there, and you know, in his rookie season on the PGA Tour, a hole in one, and
I made Sports Center.
You know what? But the funniest thing is that we were laughing about it the next day, because there was a guy that threw darts and was a higher ranked than the hole in one on Sports Center top 10. ESPN, what are they doing? I'll go throw some darts. I have a better chance of doing that than hitting a hole in one during a PGA golf tournament. Jared, how many hole in ones do you have?
Man, you just had to bring. I knew once we started talking about hole in ones that was going to get brought up. But for everybody out there, I have zero. If you couldn't tell by the question that Chris just asked.
And have you seen like anyone of the four of us get a hole in one before?
Yes, Chris, I was there for your hole in one.
There we go.
It was actually a very good shot. It wasn't like some of the ones I've seen where, you know, I've got a buddy that, you know, topped a six iron basically that just happened to roll up through the fairway, up the green and into the hole. Where yours was, man, I think it was a five iron. You hit this like pretty little draw. It was a valid hole in one, not some of those other hole in ones that I see out there. You know,
there you go, everyone watching, valid hole in one.
Hey, my son was there to watch mine, but of course he was looking at his phone when my ball rolled into the hole, and I told him I think my ball went into the hole. And he goes, nah, probably went off the back of the green.
I mean, the odds were better that it went off the back of the green.
Hey, that's not nice. Craig, help me out here, man.
No, I mean, the year you kicked this at the Amex by 12 strokes, I think it was.
Yeah.
I do recall La Quinta, I can't remember which hole it was, maybe somewhere on the back nine, you chipping it in for a net birdie. It was actually a net eagle. So you chipped in off the side of that par four. And I actually have it on, I should send you the video, but I actually have it on my phone video. I had a good feeling. So I was with Kathy and just said, I have a good feeling about this chip. So I took it on video, uploaded that thing on my Instagram. It got thousands and thousands of views, and Scott became famous. That should have been on SportsCenter.
Craig,
Scott,
you are pretty good at like finding the shot and doing all of that. And I did have to one up him this year, didn't I, Jared? I had two net eagles in one round.
Two net eagles, buddy.
I'm just saying.
Hey, I still remember Craig when you showed up the first year he was playing.
Yeah,
you just showed up out of nowhere, and you're like, "Hey,
yeah,
Scott."
And then you said,
"Where's Chris?" You remember saying, "Where's Chris?" And I turned around and I pointed to the other fairway.
Yeah, you know, I think you're teeing off a 10, and you hit your drive like 70 yards right into the other fairway.
Chris did,
and then. Chris did. Chris.
Well, you can't hit 70 yards anywhere, Dad. So
I walked down the cart path. I'm right behind Chris. And then I was like, man, is this a pro tournament? what hole are you playing? And he looks around like, who's heckling me?
We had a better angle from that fairway to the pin. It was all planned out. Okay.
Yeah, right. Listen, we play angles, all right? And, you know, it's funny how, you know, the older they get, the more they just live in the past, Jared. Because the last 2 years, I don't hear him talking one thing about those, how he lost both times. And, you know, it's funny,
it's because they can't remember what they did yesterday. So they have to think about all the stuff we did in the past.
Well, he keeps talking about strokes, Jared, and I go, it doesn't matter if you won the Super Bowl 50-0. If you lost the last two, the other guy has two Super Bowls and you have one. So who cares? And I got two Super Bowls and you got one.
Exactly right.
So, you know, Jared and I, that's why we're a team.
Hey, Scott,
I hear you.
Scott, like I said, I can be your adopted son if you want someone else to play.
You know what? Yeah, it's just give me a ring after this, and I'll put your paper signed after listening to him. Everybody wants to be him and not me. Why is that?
Yep. I mean, look at his face. Come on.
That's right. You know, I tell you, though, that back nine of that last day there, that was a lot of fun because, you know, we had a nice, you know, sizable lead, you know, and it was getting a little, you know, a little yawny there, and we're kind of, you know, just trying to get through the round and okay, and just don't do anything stupid. And then, like you said, Andrew Novak, you know, just
and Fuego.
The next thing we know, we're coming up to what, 16 and 17, and they're one, two shots behind, and you know, I'm sitting there going, all right, do I tell Chris where he's, you know, it's the whole leaderboard thing. Does he want to know it's on the leaderboard, or does he not want to know? Like, I don't want to put the pressure on him. So, you know, again, the caddy's coming back. You know, I had to give him, show him how to do it. And we made it through and we got the crown.
But we did. And I was doing everything I could to cool Andrew off. I'd played in a pro-am with him up in Scranton, and he was my teammate. And so I had a little bit of, you know, a little bit of background to talk about, you know, how he, you know, had a certain pro up there in Scranton that he wasn't getting along with. And so I tried to use some of that and tell him that he was coming out to watch him and he might be hanging out there and, you know, just whatever I could do. And then I talked about, you know, maybe a bad shot that we had seen that, you know, a couple of days earlier where he may or may not have been in someone's yard. And, you know, it didn't work. I think if anything, it fired him up a little bit. So, you know, then I backed off that.
What is the hashtag? They're one of us. right? There was
one of us.
So yeah, I mean, we had to bring up that shot, you know, just to remind him, like, hey, he does have that shot in his bag, you know.
He's a blast, like so many of those guys are. But yeah, this I think could be his year to win on tour. I sure hope so, because you know I've done this 7 years now, and I have six in a row where one of my pros has won on tour the year they played with me. And still remind Luke List that, you know, he played with me on a Saturday and then went over and won Torrey Pines the next week. So yeah, Craig, you remember that stuff. I just give them mojo and turn them loose. And so they've a lot of cool pros. And who else have we played with? I mean, Brian Harman, I played with him and he went and won the British Open, right?
Yeah. Camilo Vijegas was in that group too. Yeah. I mean, that's a heck of a group. Camilo just won again last year. We played, you know, as we talked about, Andrew Novak and Maddie Schmid, they were a fun group this year. We played with Maddie last year too, when he shot 8 under in his first round there with us, and averaged 344 off the tee.
Corey Connors is another
Corey
guy.
Corey Connors and Lano Griffin. Connors,
Johnson Wagner, he's a hoot to play with.
He wasn't with us, but thanks for bringing that up.
I love Johnson. He's a hoot. Great personality. But so many good players.
Oh, we got to play with Jason Duffner this year.
We played with Duff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you remember when the guy was hammering in the garage?
That was a nail gun.
So Duff is my partner, and we're out there on the par five, and he had a good drive, and then he's sitting there sizing up that he's going to go for the green. It's an island green, and the next thing you know, some dude in the neighborhood starts banging on a piece of wood with a hammer, and it's louder than Hun. And Duff lines up, and then what does he do? He hits it right into the water, and then he turns around and goes, oh, that hammering was getting in my head. I was like, oh, God.
Well, no, that wasn't a hammer. That was a nail gun. And so I remember when he was just like, after that, he goes, hey, I wonder if we can get the nail gun guy to follow us around on every hole. I'm sure he'll hit some more great shots.
My favorite part of Duff, though, was it was that one par four. I can't remember what hole in the Nicklaus course, you know, that we were playing that day. And they somehow, it was him and Andrew Landry and, you know, Scott and Chris, I think he might've been kind of out of the hole and they were just kind of finishing up. And somehow they started talking about beef jerky. And, you know, and so, you know, Duff is sitting there and they're talking and he's like lining up his putt. And they're still talking about it. And I mean, and Duff wasn't like out of the tournament. I mean, he's still kind of in it. And
well, round one.
What's that?
It's round one, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, they were all talking about how they needed to go like so low and, mm-hmm. and all this stuff. And so, but, you know, he still had a good round. But, anyways, so they're on the putting green and he's literally lining up his putt, gets over the putt. As he's about to putt and then backs away, like just kind of lifts up his head over the ball and he's like, beef jerky. You know, like, and like this guy is like about to putt. He's in a PGA tournament, about to putt this putt. And all this guy can think, but he literally stops and is thinking about beef jerky.
Yeah, that was a good one. He had some. He had some pretty good sayings, like when he needed to go to the bathroom and, you know, hey, guys, I need to go drain the cock. Real subtle there, Duff. So that was a great week. And, you know, we had a fun time. We had a fun household, too. And, you know, Jared, we're not going to sing any karaoke for you tonight. Unless, Craig, if you're into some karaoke tonight.
I'm always up for karaoke, but I think Jared's had enough of us.
But yeah, we'll make some more songs about you, Jared. So
I appreciate it, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, well, and you know, we've been talking about a few top 100s, and you got your LACC shirt on there, and you didn't do it with my dad, but you did it with me. And if you remember another survival story that we had, where we were coming down from Napa and drove from there to survive the, Atmospheric River?
Atmospheric River, yeah. I'm just glad you were the one driving, Chris, because I was sitting there, you know, in the passenger seat, you know, white-knuckling it, and all I could think about was, I am so glad I am not driving right now.
No, I white knuckle it every time Chris drives, just so you know.
Wait, are we talking about on the golf course or in the car?
No. Car, of course.
Oh, okay. Well, we ended up, you know, making it through an atmospheric river. And then we did switch drivers as we got away from San Francisco Airport down I-5. And, you know, what do you, you know, lo and behold, we hit a dust storm. So, I mean, what, of course we had a dust storm. And then we get to LA, right? We make it down there and we decide to go to dinner. And do you remember what happened after that?
No, remind me.
Wait, you guys are all getting old. Come on,
it's getting older, man. No wonder. Yeah.
Well, we may have made it to a Tex-Mex restaurant because it was within walking distance of the hotel. And
right.
We're sitting there, and Hillary's like, "I'm going back to bed." We watch her walk to the hotel. Next thing we know, boom, blackout in L.A. Surprise, surprise. And you know, I guess they didn't pay their electric bill because they're in such a deficit out there. You know, and so we were, Jared and I are sitting there and we're going, what just happened? Like, this is straight out of like the Bible here, that we go through a river, you know, running through the streets, we go through a dust storm, we go through a blackout, and we do all of this to go play LA Country Club. So if there's any dedication, you know, between typhoons, hurricanes, you know, atmospheric rivers and, you know, whatever else, I'm pretty sure we can all say that we've done some pretty crazy stuff to play some great golf, haven't we?
Oh, yeah. I hope
there's more ahead.
Well, that's the goal too, isn't there?
Yeah. So, Craig, tell me, so you live in Hawaii, Craig. So have you played Nanea?
I have not played Nanea yet. I actually just met a guy that lives next door to me that is a member there, and he has a house on the course. So he was like, anytime you want to go over to Big Island, let's do it.
There's a friend you want.
Yeah. And that's a great thing, is like what your network that you guys have built up to access courses. I mean, you meet some of the most amazing people in the world. The one time playing with Jimmy James at Caves with you, Scott, he did the top 100 US courses in 1 year, like during the kind of the toward the end of the pandemic.
Wow.
Is just insane. Like the logistics and the, what you'd have to do to just get access to, I think he said like 89 of the courses were private. So, you know, just having to get around and doing that all within 365 days is just amazing. Amazing feat.
Yeah. Well, and you guys came to our celebration along with Jimmy James, right? Up here in York at Country Club of York.
Yep.
And you both played, you know, that course too, Adalo Ross, fun course. Somehow
I played two and a half holes. I played two and a half holes. Jared played one and a half, I think.
I'm not even sure Jared played one and a half.
Yeah, the rain followed us, didn't it? The rain came. But you know, Jimmy, when I met him out at the quarry in La Quinta, and I only heard his story. He was telling it in a pro shop, and that's how I got to talk with him, because I said, well, we got a similar story. My son and I are trying to do the World Top 100 list together, and that's how we became friends, stuck together. And I still tell him, I'm, you know, of all the accomplishments, I'm amazed that he's still married doing that for a year. and he actually just sent me a note. You know, he's publishing a book called In the Rough, and
yeah, I think it's out now. Yeah,
well, it's in pre-order. Yeah. Okay. So his book, it talks about his life story and playing, you know, growing up, not without any money, and you know how he got to do it. So the stories of the people you get to meet are bigger than golf. You know, they're life stories, really. And Craig, as you said, you know, you never know, Mr. Mizuno. You know, how did I know who he was? And you didn't know who he was either when we were talking to him. But you know, usually when a guy says I'm an RNA member, I'll stop for a moment and let him keep talking.
Yeah, that's the cool part about it. Like you said, Craig, we have, you know, we've met so many amazing people. You know, we played golf with you guys. We played golf with a number of folks. And that's what, you know, doing this podcast is all about, the golf quest, having a great time, spending, you know, time on the golf course, whether you play well or not. it's about just like enjoying life, I think, is really what we get to do. And we get, and you can play golf for your whole life. I've gotten to play with my great grandfather, my grandfather, my dad. You guys have gotten to play with, I'm sure, you know, multiple family members or friends or, you know, whoever, you know, you want to play with. And it's such a great game, and we get to do it, you know, all together and have a good time. And you can tell who's living in the cold weather climates and the warm weather climates by what they're wearing right now, with Jared and Craig wearing some, you know, short sleeve shirts and us wearing pullovers. But, you know, we travel, we'll find our way around to, you know, to the right golf courses. And
I think you're not seeing what's below the computer here.
Well, hopefully that you got pants on.
But yeah, don't scare me, Jared.
Yeah, no, this isn't COVID times anymore, where you can show up to a work meeting and you know, with the, you know, half dressed. I want to make sure everyone's dressed appropriately. Golf attire only. Maybe that's a new stipulation we're gonna have to have. You got to be full golf attire, golf shoes too, Jared.
I wouldn't want to embarrass anybody, you know. That's
well, as we're coming kind of here towards the end, you know, I first of all, I want to say thank you guys. I appreciate you guys jumping on here. It's been a great time talking with you guys. And I do want to you know, do our trivia of the day here. So this is a pretty fun one, at least for me. So we finished our top 100 and we finished at Shinnecock. That was our 100th course. What was my dad's score at Shinnecock?
You can't make these stories up. Take a guess.
94.
Someone take a guess.
95.
No, 100. Come on, guys.
And I'm proud of it.
That's more of a riddle than a trivia question.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, riddle trivia. You know, when you're the host, you can make it whatever you want. All right, Jared. I'm the caddy of this podcast. Is it,
you really shot 100 at the 100th golf course you played?
I did, and wow. I'm proud of it, because that's not an easy course.
Now, did you know that, like, as you were, like, on the last hole or anything?
No.
You didn't miss, like, a two-footer there at the end?
No, I just looked at the scorecard, and, I was fine with 100, hey.
That's awesome. Awesome.
So, I'm telling you, when you roll with the Hartmans, you can't make it up. You know, these stories just come out of everywhere.
Yeah.
You guys know it, right?
Stories in the talking, and it all comes out, doesn't it?
I love it.
Well, we're finished up here. We appreciate you guys, Jared, Craig, for joining us today. You know, it looks like, you know, Craig, you're really struggling there in Hawaii with the weather, but
yeah, might go hit the links right now, actually.
Well, enjoy your time out there. I don't think we're doing that, you know, anytime soon here in York, but hopefully we will. But with that, I'll say, you know, thank you. We'll sign off of the golf quest. Golf clap out. Thank you, guys. Take care.
All right. See you. Take care.
See you, guys. Great having you.
Thanks for listening.
If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review on your favorite podcast platform. We'll see you next time on
The Golf Quest.